Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In the fourth episode of our series, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford introduces extracts from the collection on the Warwick Students' Union.
When Warwick opened in 1965, there was no Students' Union building. Students generally socialised in Roots Social Building, particularly the famous Airport Lounge on the first floor. Mike Haslam, one of the first intake of students, describes playing with his band, New Economic Model, in the days before the Students' Union building.
Basically, in the 60s, student unions had pots of money, and lots of the big bands liked the university circuit because it was an audience of the right sort of age. The venues were generally not too big, so you could have people like Hendrix, The Who, Cream, Pink Floyd, did the university circuit. But the trouble was, nobody danced when Pink Floyd came, you know, because they were still slightly underground. This was 67. Everybody just sort of stood and adored them. And the girls got fed up, said, "You keep taking us to dances, but when nobody's dancing." So, because they were becoming like concerts rather than dances. So a few of us got together and said, "Why don't we form a band and we can play at every student dance for dancing?" So that's what we did. We'd play sort of for 45 minutes an hour at the beginning, then you add the concert, and then we'd play at the end again. So that's how we played with Pink Floyd.
Calls for a designated Students' Union building increased by the end of the 1960s. In 1968, one sabbatical officer argued that,
"As Warwick develops, it will be essential to provide a central building of some form in order to coordinate the social and administrative activities of students."
Will Fitzgerald, Students' Union president between 1970 and 1971, describes one interim inflatable building erected for the students in the early 1970s.
"It got so hot because there was no air conditioning in it, so after about 5 minutes it just became like a tropical jungle. So you opened the doors. The problem is when you opened the doors, let the air in, the bubble went down. So you suddenly found yourself with this great, huge, heavy structure just dropping on people. The motive was right. We need some other venue for students, because the university was growing by the hundreds each year, and of course the student social facilities hadn't grown at all."
Following years of planning and discussion, the Students' Union building opened in 1975 and became a central part of student life on campus. As well as a social space, the Students' Union encompassed Warwick student societies and campaigns, and it continues to provide welfare support for students. Sam Davies remembers the Students' Union in the late 1990s.
"It was kind of very old school in that, you know, it was about live music, it was about special evenings, you know, the bars were very prominent, there was a big snooker table room, chip shop, kebab thing on the bottom floor. But there were the sabbatical stuff, you know, the sabbatical officers were there, and, you know, there were signs and posters and campaigns around. But fundamentally, it was basically a student's union where people went and had a good time. And I remember that when I was there, the carpet was always very, very sticky, which wasn't very nice, and you kind of could tell why. And the ceiling would drip if it got really, really hot, which was horrible. But it was kind of what you would want a student's union to be if you were a student."
Richard Wallace remembers the student's union when he was an undergraduate in the mid-2000s.
"The marketplace as it was, you know, that big open space with kind of no ceiling, was fabulous. And during the day it was a really good place to go and good place for the market stalls. And then it turned into a really quite nice big space where people you could see. And then the cooler was that slightly darker, kind of more clubby aspect. I mean, I remember it was always funny. Every term they used to run an event called Metropolis, where the idea was the design the union as a different kind of major city. So one term it'd be New York, and another term it'd be Paris, and another it'd be Tokyo. But what was great was that in every single case, the marketplace would look different, the graduate would be different, but But the cooler was always a DJ set with camouflage netting. And it was like, you know, this was supposed to be what a New York club or a Tokyo club would look like. And it, as it turns out, apparently, doesn't matter where you go in the world, all the nightclubs look exactly the same. And what they look like is a DJ set covered in camouflage netting.
The Students' Union underwent major renovation between 2008 and 2009, redesigning the social space and food and drink outlets. Steve Russell, commercial operations manager at the time of the rebuild, describes the design strategy behind the redevelopment.
We wanted it to be seen for the names of the outlets in the area, so we wanted students to say, we're going to the Copper Rooms tonight, or meeting at lunchtime for a sandwich from the bread oven, because what we felt we were losing was people would get in the, oh, it's the student union, it's the same place I buy my sandwich as I come out for a night, and they didn't want to do that. So we wanted to create this separate identity to all the areas, and I think we were very successful in doing that. Certainly if you hear students talk now, they don't necessarily talk about it as the student union, they talk about it as the all the different parts of it.
Join us for the next Voices of the University podcast next month, where we will be exploring student activities and politics. For further details or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.